We here at All Things Considered are not afraid to ask why. For instance, why did a seemingly beige, toothless pop hit from 36 years ago get so much love in 2018? I hear the drums echoing tonight, but she is... A cover, then a remix. And so many internet memes. We are not frightened by the thing that it has become. We are only very curious. Rob Harvilla, music critic for The Ringer, knows he must do what is right and help us understand the strange afterlife of Toto's Africa. Thank you very kindly for being here, Rob.
Well, thank you. This is a great honor. This is the highlight of my career, I think.
Okay, so the zombie corpse of this song comes back to life. The band Weezer covers it this year. It is all over rock radio stations. And then just last week, Pitbull dropped his version of the song called Ocean to Ocean. Why?
Why? It's genuinely, earnestly, like a pretty wonderful song. Like, it's honest about what it is. What it is like a very cheesy synth-driven song, you know, about a white person singing about Africa despite never having been to Africa.
Right. I mean, these were some white guys from North Hollywood who were just studio session musicians, never been to Africa, like had only seen Africa on TV.
Right, right.
What were they doing writing about what Africa's like?
They were just being artists, man. That's the only way I can put it. That's what the artist does. I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro
rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I mean, the lyrics make no sense. The video is this westernized, vaguely racist fantasy of Africa.
Someone throws a spear.
Exactly. Yeah, probably
they should have not thrown the spear. That was my thought.
But why do you think this song gets so much forgiveness today? Because everyone's in on the joke?
I think partly that's it. Yeah. Toto has said from the beginning, like, this is a song about a white person who has never been to Africa trying to write a song about Africa. Like, there's a very upfront, apologetic, like, meta aspect to it, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the early 80s. This is the era of Live Aid. You know, this is the era where Africa is like an abstract concept, you know, this big altruistic cause. Mm-hmm. And like looking at the lyrics, it, like, I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become. Like, this idea of Africa as this mystical place where you can go to purify yourself. Like, I don't think she actually went to Africa and eat, pray, love, but this is
sort of like the
soft rock, eat, pray, love, you know, of the early 80s.
So what do you think it is about this song, whatever it was meant to be about, that speaks to this moment right now that we're in?
I think there's a specific kind of song that tends to be very corny and soft rockish that just has a very pleasant dissonance in the internet age. Like, you think about Rickrolling, right? Like how the Rick Astley song was suddenly reborn as this hilarious meme that got driven into the ground. And there's just something about the contrast of like that clueless sort of cheesiness in the cynical sort of dark internet age. Like, the contrast there was what made the Rickrolling joke work.
But as you mentioned, Rickrolling got kind of driven into the ground. Do you think we've reached peak Africa? Is there some other 80s soft rock hit waiting to knock it off its pedestal at this point?
I think two major interpolations of Africa in 2018 is plenty. I think we've achieved Toto saturation at this point. So yeah, let's get some other song in there. Any song, really.
Rob Harvilla, music critic with The Ringer. I have one last question for you, Rob.
Please.
Can you even see Mount Kilimanjaro from the Serengeti?
I don't claim to be a geographical expert, but I there seems to be some poetic license taken there. But you know, that just makes the song all the more profound.